There, with God's help, let's turn together from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. I desire to begin with verse 34 to the end. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. May God bless our reading. Dear ones, the question that Jesus is asking here, first he gives us a direction, but then he asks each one of us a question that I believe that I know the world as a whole gives it hardly any thought, and even Christianity barely crosses their minds on a daily basis. And the question is that Jesus asks is, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Before that, he says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So the emphasis in this portion of scripture that we read are multiple. There's a cross and there's a consideration of a soul. If you ask someone passing by on the street about their soul and the value that they place on it, they won't even know what to tell you. It's meaningless. What's a soul? They're connected to the physical. This body, this flesh, is our connection to life. And that's all pretty much man thinks about. And if we consider Jesus is saying to gain the whole world. Now, we know Nimrod tried to gain the whole world. We know Nebuchadnezzar did. We know Alexander the Great. Many wanted to gain the whole world and control of it. And the Antichrist will ultimately seek to gain and have control, and it will be granted to him to control the whole world. Everything. Everything. You know, you and I put much effort into our daily sustenance because God has left it that way in a cursed earth that man must work for his bread. And the man that doesn't work, it says, that is lazy, not the man that is crippled and can't. We're talking the man who has the mental capacity and physical capacity to work and chooses not to and lay around. God says he shouldn't even eat. That means don't even give him anything. He's lazy. We're talking about how much effort do we place? We have everything mapped out in our lives oftentimes. Sometimes things happen as we go year to year. Things unfold for us. Something unexpected develops and we get into some kind of a work or investment of some kind where we put our efforts into something that will give us the return that we can live by and so on. But much thought is usually placed in our daily sustenance. That's for this life. The life that Jesus says, ask us a question, in light of what you're doing for this life, what are you doing for your soul? In the gospel or in the epistle of John, chapter 5, it says, we know that we are of God. It says, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So when you go to gain the whole world, you're gaining wickedness. That's what you're after. And he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding. Okay, so the world is in pursuit of the world, which is all about wickedness. But he says, but you know, because God gave you an understanding. That's every one of us here. God gave us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And once you know him, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, the world has no pull anymore. Remember, Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Why? Because I know Jesus. It says, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. That's your soul. Who gives us life? So how much emphasis, how much thought, how much work do we do for our soul? We know the story very well of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man pursued all the things of this life, and he had it. The Bible tells us, the Bible calls him a rich man. And there came a time that this life was over, and it said he was cast into hell, and there was anguish and burning. And what would he have given at that moment in exchange for his soul? How many of those lavish dinners that he enjoyed and left Lazarus outside on his gate would he have forfeited now for his soul? How much gold and purple and the fine linens and all the things that he had amassed, what would he give up for his soul? Well, there's no price on your soul. There's no price on it. You can't buy it. You lost it because you pursued its loss. You know, what a man does to mine, it tells us in Job, in the book of Job, we read it recently, what a man does to mine for gold. What he'll sift through, the sand that he'll sift through to get some precious diamonds. The years he'll spend digging to accumulate that which Christ says here has zero value. Now, a man can't understand that unless he has come to understand Christ. And a man who does not know Christ has really committed suicide to his own soul. Yet it's a soul that is eternal and goes on forever. And I believe that it just struck me as I read this verse in specific, these two verses, 36 and 37. What does it profit a man? You know, Satan offered Jesus the world without a cross. He offers us everything our eyes can see, but it's without a cross. And Jesus tells us here, whosoever will come after me. Are you saying you're a follower of me? Jesus asks. Okay. If you're going to come after me, he says you have to deny yourself. Because the man who is in pursuit of the world has denied Jesus. Because the world's attraction is for self. It's for me. And so Jesus is saying you have to deny yourself. Don't deny me. You have to deny yourself. But in order to deny yourself, there's a cross. There's a cross. And you look at that cross, and there's no one on that cross. But your name is on that cross. And he said, that cross is for you. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. Die to this world in all of its wickedness. That cross is for you. Not that you would be redeemed by your own. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But he says, I have a cross prepared for you where you have to deny yourself also. Because that's the only way you're going to know me. And when you know me, you know life. Now you've placed a tremendous value on your own soul. And Jesus tells us here, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. It just goes totally contrary to man's thinking. You know, imagine being in a prison with the gallows before you, and the door is open. A door is open that leads us to the palace of the king, who is offering us life, and we choose to stay connected to the wickedness. And would rather go to the gallows and die than choose life. We say, well, no one would do that. You're in prison. Well, we are all in the prison of Satan unless we receive Christ. And in order to receive him, Jesus says, you have to deny yourself. And so put your name. My eyes are falling on some of you. I could almost say your name right now and say, you know, so-and-so, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross. That's what conversion is. You know, Jesus is talking about saving a life. He's also talking about being shameful. You know, there are shameful things that are done in the life of a Christian. publicly done. And what's shameful is, it's shameful to say no to that. It's easier to follow along. Now we can say, well, it was a moment, it was at that moment. Yeah, I get it. We all have our moments of weakness and so on, but there's a forgetting of something. We've forgotten about our soul. If we follow the crowds, yes, even our own church crowds, which will go into sin, and we can't say no, we have to follow. Why? Because you're ashamed. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of who? The king in the palace who is offering me life. So I'm going to choose the gallows and follow headlong after it. Jesus says, you're ashamed of me. Because the truth that I gave is truth. It's life. It's the only life there is. It's truth. Everything else is a lie. You know, on the way to Detroit last week, I saw a sign on a semi-truck that said, fear is a liar. And you could interpret that in many different ways. The fear of God? Of course it's not. Fear of death? Well, there's a reason why I'm fearing death. Because when I do have a moment of thought about my soul, I'm not so sure about where it's headed. And so I fear death. And then you could say there's much truth in it because perfect love does cast out fear. And so where is our walk? Where are we in our life? Are we ready to be ridiculed by our peers to say, brothers, my brother, no, that's shameful? Or are we going to follow along and say, yeah, I messed up? It's because our thoughts aren't upon that cross, because we forgot. We walked away from it. There's no person, none of us here can say that I can go into sin and still say that I've done what Jesus has said here to do. No. We failed. Now, what does that say to us? The easiest thing for a man to do is to count it off, check it off as weakness. It's my weakness. I'm in the flesh. No kidding, we're in the flesh. But there's a soul that is in jeopardy. And in order to save the soul, we have to deny the flesh. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Deny yourselves. That cross has your name on it. Go to it. Christ will give us the understanding, the peace, and the joy to be crucified to this world which is full of wickedness. To be crucified to the world. And have the world crucified to me. That's quite a peaceful statement. That's why the blessed apostle was able to say, it's better for me to die. It's better for me to go to be with the Lord. I want to die. But for your sake, I'm here to preach this gospel, which Jesus is telling us today. If you don't listen to it, you will lose your soul. The chasm between the rich man and Lazarus was one that no one could ever cross. And what would he have given to cross that chasm to get back his soul? Everything flashed before his eyes. Everything. Nothing stacked up and said, well, yeah, that was worth it. That was worth it. Everything was just bitterness, pain, suffering, regret forever. Of what did I sell my soul for? This? For those brief moments, this is what I did it for. To gain the whole world, you know, I read a story of a man who had mined, I don't know, perhaps today's value is billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And he had it stored on a computer. And that computer was accidentally thrown away. And that's the only place that code is that he can retrieve his wealth that is now just astronomical. And he goes and he's digging through the trash heaps, trying to find his laptop. And let's say he finds it, and he is now suddenly a billionaire. And he's with the rich man. What would it avail him? See, we don't think that way, though. In a moment of pleasure, in a moment of pursuit, in a moment of great wealth, of power, of look at me, of pride, those are all things that have to go to the cross. When those things are arising in our hearts, we've discounted our soul. We've dropped its value way down to zero worth because we've put something else above it. We cannot put anything above our soul. So, brothers and sisters, when we do sin, Jesus tells us to repent. And that is a beautiful thing. Whether a soul has been convicted by this gospel, who is out in the world and receives a conviction from the Spirit of God and comes to Christ, is such a powerful testimony of the love of the one who has placed such a value in your soul. And he came to redeem it. Only he could do that. Nothing else you and I can do. Such also is the repentance of any who has fallen into sin, recognizes it, and is remorseful, and repents, recognizes himself as nothing, and what he jeopardized for that moment of whatever it was. Pride, it could be anger, it could be, well, anger usually comes from pride. But whatever, we know what sin is. We don't have to sit here and try to determine, well, what is or isn't. You know. I know. And what do we do with it? Just one more day. Just one more time. Okay. Okay. I'm just this moment I'm weak, but I'm going to get stronger tomorrow. Okay, now I'm really going to get stronger. Okay, and you know what happens? A week goes by, and there's a month that passed by, and there's a year, and there's a decade, and suddenly we're old men, and we still are feeling, I still didn't come to that repentance that I really, really want. Well, if we want it, we have to go to the cross and deny ourselves. So Christ is inviting us all by name. Come to that cross with your name on it. Receive me there. That's the only place. He won't find you anywhere else. He ain't going to find you in the bars, partying, dancing. He's not going to find you there. He's not there. Christ is not there. to receive him, you have to go to the cross. And so, dear ones, it is my prayer that the thought where he says, wherefore, whosoever, he doesn't care what your name is, where, your nationality, what position, how many billions you have or whatever. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what family you came from. He says, whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me. And listen to what he says, and of my words. Because his words are life. Life. You're ashamed of life, that means you have no value on your soul. You're going to go to hell. You chose it. You chose it. He says, ashamed of me and my words, amidst what? In a adulterous and sinful generation. So you're in a sinful, adulterous world. It's darkness, it's ugly, it's wicked. And you're ashamed of life and light and peace with God. He says, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I can't imagine to stand before Jesus and he's ashamed of us. Because he's going to come, it says, in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. These are extremely powerful, thought-provoking verses, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, if we just simply want to submit to them. And let his Spirit guide us. That path to the cross is not where this flesh wants to go. But in anything that we know is not good for us, when we deny it, we later are overjoyed because we denied ourselves that. Doesn't matter what it is. We have a good feeling because you were able to be victorious. When your flesh wants it and it contradicts his word, don't be ashamed of his word. Be ashamed of your sin. Be ashamed of yourself. And that's what repentance is, being ashamed of myself and what I've done. If you look across the landscape, it's full of gymnasiums, memberships, sign up, get your body in good shape. Hospitals, doctors, specialists, everywhere, everything for this flesh, for the body, to heal it, to make it stronger, to just do everything you can for this flesh. And people spend everything they have sometimes to pursue health and wealth and happiness for this life. And they forgot about their soul. There's no landscape dotted with anything. It's all in the Word. Oh, there's churches everywhere. Yes, there's churches everywhere. But salvation comes through his word, not through religion. Through his word. We cannot be ashamed of his word. We cannot choose friends, Christian friends, family friends, family. Doesn't matter who. You cannot choose anyone over him. Because you're ashamed of him in essence. And there's no life. So may God bless his word, dear ones, upon our hearts. This evening is my prayer that all of us would as we read there in 1 John 5:19-20, I think it was, the verses of how he gives us understanding. And in him is life. And when we know him, we don't want the world. But in order to know him, we have to go to the cross. To go to the cross, we have to deny ourselves. The instructions are clear. It's just for us to follow. And the only way we can follow him is if we first have a a fear for our soul. And then when we read of what he did for us, it will cause us to love him. And love is the most powerful force on earth and in heaven. Love is God. And that love for him will drive us to be crucified to this world and the world to us. May God bless his word. Amen.
Truly, the Lord felt that our souls were of great value and very precious, so much so that the Lord Jesus came here upon this earth that we might be saved, that our souls could be saved, and that eternally. So truly, the Lord has felt that our souls are of great value, and he has done all that we might be saved. But yet we have an enemy of the soul, and the enemy of the soul uses those that will obey him to distract us, to turn us away from our faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ as we come to this saving faith and the saving of our souls. But Jesus has a word to say about those who Satan would send our way. Jesus says, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Lord loves us, and he saved us, that our souls might live on throughout eternity. And Jesus says, fear him who is able to cast both soul and body in hell. And Jesus, there in the reading that we had this evening, speaks of coming again in the glory of his Father and with the angels. In Hebrews, we read something very similar. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." The concept of the saving of our souls comes through faith in him. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We are of those who press forward in faith, in believing, and when we do so, the power of Christ is there to save our souls. Amen.